the tradition of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ. Ladies and gentlemen, we're broken. We lack in understanding. We are insufficient. We are everything God is not. But yet we continue to look to ourselves, within ourselves, to save ourselves. That's foolishness. Some there are the Gnostics, the ones who believe they possess knowledge. We're undermining the faith of the Colossians, and Paul's trying to warn them that no, you need to be looking to Christ. In verse 9, for in Him, in Christ, dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. Yes, Christ is able. And ye are completed in Him, which is the head of all principality and power, in whom also ye are circumcised with the circumcision made without hands, and putting off the body of sins of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ. Watch verse 12. Verse 12 tells us where the process of completion begins. Buried with Him in baptism, wherein also you are risen with Him through the faith of the operation of God who hath raised Him from the dead. If you're here tonight and you know you are broken because of sins you've committed, the place where you need to go to begin letting the Lord repair you, to fix you, is in Christ and in baptism. This operation of God begins there in that action. And it is through that operation that we recognize that through faith that the Lord is able to do His work in that action, that He can forgive our sins, and that we can raise to walk in newness of life. There is a great transformation that begins there. Conversion is initiated in the act of baptism. And if you've not been baptized tonight, you need to do that before tonight's over. But many of you are here tonight, and you've done that. You were persuaded and convicted entirely that you were broken. You acknowledged your sin. You looked to God with a poverty of spirit, knowing that there was no one else to look to. So you look to Christ, you were baptized, your sins were forgiven, you began to participate in this great work of perfectness to be raised to walk in newness of life. Now, if you're wondering, well, what is he going to talk about tonight? We're going to talk about what it means to walk in newness of life. What it means to be raised with Christ. What it means, what a life looks like when someone begins to give their life to Christ to complete them, to make them whole. And that's the thought of chapter 3. Chapter 3, Paul goes back to this idea of well, you're buried with Christ in baptism, but you're raised to walk in newness of life. And so if you've been risen with Christ, chapter 3 is for you. If you're contemplating tonight being risen with Christ, you need to give consideration to chapter 3. If you've been risen with Christ, he says, to seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. For ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with Him in glory. Ladies and gentlemen, Christians, those who've been raised with Christ, they know who they are and where they're going. That's point number one. Christians know who they are and where they're going. It is a great blessing to have direction, isn't it? So much of life is spent contemplating why we are here. What is our purpose? A great deal of time and effort and pursuit is spent trying to answer those questions. There are people from generation to generation who have graced God's green earth, who lived their entire lives never knowing why they were here. Never knowing what life was about, what was their purpose. And so they wandered through life aimless, without direction. Ladies and gentlemen, as Christians, that's not how you and I are to live. Because we know who we are and where we're going. And everything about that suggests that. The life that we live suggests that. Have you ever encountered someone who is just resolute, who seems to be very driven, who seems to understand what their purpose is? You don't have to have a conversation with somebody to know. That person knows where they're going. You can tell just by the way they carry themselves, by the way they present themselves to others, maybe by the way they're dressed, the way they walk. They don't walk with their heads down. They walk with their heads up, and they're just very assertive. Well, that is precisely how Christians are to live, because we know who we are. We belong to Christ. We know where we're going. We're headed to heaven. And that is the very desire, the single desire of our heart. There is emotion suggested in this passage. Where are you supposed to put your affection? What are your desires? So often it is the desire of the heart that determines the course of life. I mean, Solomon wrote that in Proverbs chapter 4 and verse 23, that from the heart stem all of the issues of life. If you want to know why you are the way you are, or why someone else does the things they do, learn about what's in their heart. Christians know that I am setting my heart, my affection on things above. I'm going to concern myself with God as someone who has hope. We're told in Hebrews chapter 12, in summation of the point of chapter 11, as sometimes as Christians we become very discouraged and cast down in our walks, we don't go through life unaffected by the mess of the world. And we want to give up. We become tired. We become weary.